Jeremiah, we're going to start at our starting point that we did last week, but we're going to kind of skip up to where we need to take off from. So let's start in Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to talk about vision 2026. Everybody say it with me. See it. Believe it, build it. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, it says to us, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Now stop right there if you're reading along in your Bible with me. Before you were born, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet for the nations. So in other words, he's saying, before I formed you, before you were formed in the womb, your mothers or grandmothers, even before your grandparents were getting together and got married or whatever, and you had your parents, he said, I knew you. Everybody say, God knew me before I was born. So some people ask themselves, how did he know me? Well, you know, God knows ahead of time. He has foreknowledge. And many of us don't realize that we were spirit beings before we became human beings. That means in the mind of God, in the annals of history past, the eons past, God knew you. He knew you. Everybody say, he knows me. So he knows you before you became an embryo. And what did he say? Before you were born, I ordained you. Everybody say, I've been ordained. And he said, a prophet to the nations, in this case, for Jeremiah, then said, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you. How many of you know it's good to do what the Lord tells you to do? If you don't get anything out of today, leave here thinking that God is in charge of my destiny and my destination. Everybody say, God is in charge. God is in charge. Praise the Lord. One of the words for Lord means master, owner, ruler, and what? Controller. That means the one who decides for me. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. He's already decided who you're going to be and what you're supposed to do in 2026. Who are you? What he called and ordained you to be. What are you supposed to do? Whatever he's planned and purposed for me to do. Everybody got that? So he decides for me. That means he gets to tell me what to do. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. So when you say that, that's confession means to covenant. That means to covenant with God. That means I make a covenant with God. That means our relationship is not casual. It's a covenant. Amen. You know, in today's society, we know people play married or play like they're married. That's casual. Covenant is real deal. So God says, I got a real deal relationship with you. Amen. So God says, I'm relating to you by covenant. That means I'm never going to leave you nor turn my heart away from you. Because the Bible says he will never leave us nor forsake us. Leaving is physical. God says, I'm not leaving you. Because I've started a work in you. And forsaking is where he takes his heart away from you. That means my heart's not going to get taken away from you. And Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. God said, I'll never leave you or nor forsake you. So even though it's 2026 and 2025 may have looked horrible, he's saying, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Covenant. Praise the Lord. You know, that works in marriage too. If you say, I'm not taking my heart out of this thing. I'm not taking it for granted. And I'm not leaving. I'm not using the D word. Do I need to interpret that for somebody in here? I'm not saying I'm done with you. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Because relationships based on covenant work. Praise the Lord. All right. He said, don't say I'm but a youth. But you should go and do what I send you to, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Verse 8, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, now I put my words in your mouth. Everybody say, Lord, touch my mouth. A lot of times you've got to get your mouth in alignment. You can't talk victim and expect victory. Should I say that again? You can't talk victim all the negative or the bad things or the bad deals or the bad situations that you're facing or have been through. You can't talk victim and expect victory. God has to touch your mouth. Everything gets done by what? Speaking. So that God has to be able to take your mouth and talk, get you to talk on another level. For you to go to new places, new graces, and new faces, you have to talk on another level. What are the words coming out of your mouth? Sister Dawn mentioned it in the offering teaching. Our words can mess up our tithing rights and receiving from God the blessing. Praise the Lord, because you can throw money in the bucket, but you can talk contrary to prosperity and increase in your life. You can always talk negative, talk the lack of money, the shortage of money. I don't have enough money. I can't afford, and all this poverty language. You can't have prosperity and talk poverty. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I don't know how I'm stuck on that, but I'm stuck right here on this. Everything gets done by speaking. So you have to ask the Lord, Lord, touch my mouth. Yeah, I hear that, Lord. And see, what is the Bible? So if you got a brick and mortar Bible, it's like this. God's word has to get in your, has to get his word in your mouth. God's word in your mouth is like mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Some people in this room, under the sound of my voice, need mouth-to-mouth resuscitation for 2026. Because you don't understand the wicked and the wounded and the victim words coming out of your mouth. Come on now. You got to talk victory. You got to talk victory. You got to talk victory. Everybody say victory.
Victory.
Praise God. You have to have a victory mindset, but you also need to have a victory mouth. Turn to somebody next to you and say, you got to have victory in your mouth. Turn to somebody else next to you and say, do you have victory coming out of your mouth? Or victim coming out of your mouth? Now, how do you know what's coming out of my mouth, Pastor? Because when you complain, when you're critical, when you're always calling things wrong, calling out everything that's wrong, when you're always being the cynic or critic, if you're full of cynicism and criticisms and complaints, you don't have victory in your mouth. Because faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Doubt complains, despairs, worries, and is sad. Praise God. So if you're a doubter, you're a fire putter outer. You're not a shouter. I don't know. Always thinking something bad's going to go wrong. Always thinking something negative's going to come out. And you verbalize that. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good right now. You know, like Don was saying, the word, God told him, your words are stout against me. It's not like I'm trying to take money from you. It's not like I'm trying to hold the money back from you. He said, your words are stout against me. I can't work against your words. Because when you talk lack and losing and having limitations because of money, you're not trusting me. And you're inviting not the blessing, but the curse. And you're inviting what we call the curse, a blessing blocker or a blessing stopper. Praise God. Everybody say, no blessing blockers. No blessing stoppers should be coming out of my mouth. Now think about it. There's no inconsequential words. Every word is of consequence. So you can't just run off at the mouth and express your feelings and the strain on your flesh. Stop it. Stop telling everybody what you don't like and what you hate. I'm talking to somebody this morning because it's not even in my notes. I hate that. I don't like that. You're training yourself to stay negative. You got to say, Lord, touch my mouth. Everybody say it with me. Lord, touch my mouth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's put his words in your mouth. See that I have this day set you over nations, over kingdoms, to root out, to pull up, to pluck down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord saying to me, Jeremiah, what do you see? Everybody say, what do you see? Now call the person's name next to you. Say, what do you see? What do you see? Turn to someone else next to you and say, what do you see? What do you see? He said, I see the branch of an almond tree. For then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I'm ready to perform my word. So we want to pick up today to ascertain, are you seeing well? Are you seeing well? Am I seeing clear? 2026 didn't just roll across the calendar and God said, uh-oh, I forgot to give you my plan. I forgot to give you my plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans. You can go to the next slide. I know the plans. Look what it says up top. For I know the thoughts. One translation says, plans I have for you, or I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of what kind of peace and not of evil, to give you what? An expected end, or in other words, a hope in a future. So the Lord's plan is not inferior. It is superior to your plan. God has a better plan. A bigger plan for you in 2026. So you ain't got to think about, well, we're 11 days into the year. I don't know what the plan is. You got the Holy Spirit's here to help you this morning. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. Because God has a plan. Everybody say God has a plan. Look at that New Living Translation. For I know the plans I have for you. Planning is winning. Lack of planning is not winning. It's losing. What's the plan? Go to God. What's the plan for 2026? Go to God, because he has it. Don't think somebody else has it for you. He has it for you. Somebody say, praise God. He said, they're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So God tells Jeremiah to tell the people, in Jeremiah 12 and 13, then you shall call to me and you shall go and pray to me and hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. He's making it personal. He said, you got to come to me. So the waiter or waitress in a restaurant can describe the menu to you, but you got to eat the food to really know how it tastes. Somebody say, praise the Lord. They know how to give you the description of it, but you got to eat it. Everybody say, you got to eat. That means you got to go and seek God yourself. You don't come to me and say, Pastor, what's my plan? What's the plan for this year? Now, I can give you a plan for the church. But for your personal plan, you got to go to him. I can describe the restaurant. I can describe what they have on the menu. But God says what? You shall call upon who? Me. You shall go and pray to me. You shall hearken, and I will hearken to you. So look at the promise. I will, but you shall. You shall first. So on this 11th day of January, are you shalling to come to him, to pray to him, and him hearkening to you, and you shall seek him or seek me and find me when you shall search for me with how much? Come on, I'm just going to let that soak in. Because I know the devil, if he doesn't make you bad, he makes you busy. And he makes you so busy that you don't pray and you don't spend time. We put a new book. It's a free book for you. Thank you very much. It's a PDF book on the church group files. And it's called How to Know Your Purpose. The first thing is you got to get in his presence. What's the step? First step. You got to go to God. You got to get in his presence. And then in his presence, you discover. You don't develop. You discover the plan and your purpose. So when you get close to God, when you get in the presence of God, you find more about God, but also about you. Because he said to Jeremiah, and he's saying to all of us, I formed you. I created you. Now, your mother and father procreated you. Notice the difference. But you were a spirit being before you are a human being. So your mother and father gave you the earth suit. But God gave you you. The real you is your spirit. He said, I created you. I formed you. I knew you. So you got to come to me to find out about who you are. When you know who your father is, your heavenly father is, then you'll find out about who you are. Anybody seen the Lion King movie? All the kids seen the Lion King movie? The old school one. I don't know about the new school one. What are some of the characters in the Lion King movie? Come on, kids. Tell me. No, I don't want the adults answering. Kids? What is one of the characters? Who's the main character? Yes, ma'am. Simba. All right, come on up. Come on up. I got something for you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Give her a hand, give her a hand. Come on, give her a hand. High five, high five. Oh, excuse me. Good job. Sorry. All right, what's another character? Who was his father? Come on, kids. Mufasa, come on up. Come on up, buddy. Hallelujah. Good job, good job. High five, high five, high five. Now, what did... What did Mufasa say to Simba when he was in that lake with the monkey called who? Who was the monkey called? Somebody raise your hand. Come on. What is it? Okay, come on up, buddy. Come on up, buddy. All right. Good. You got some. High five. High, wait. You left me hanging there, bro. Rafiki. Oh, come on. Y'all don't know. That's one of the most famous Disney movies. That's the only one I like, really. Okay, everybody's going to go watch Lion King tonight, probably, this week. But what did Rafiki do to Simba when he's looking in there at his own image? I don't see nothing. Rafiki got that club out and did what? Boop. Look harder. Look harder. And he started to see the image of his father. And then Mufasa comes in the clouds and says, Simba, Simba, you've forgotten me. Don't I sound like James Earl Jones? He said, I'm your father. When you've forgotten me, you've forgotten who you are. Amen. If I had the clip, I'd show it. But we don't have the clip, video clip. But do you understand what I'm talking about? When you forgot God, you forget who you are. And you forget God when you're not in his presence. Because you're not acting like covenant, you're acting casual and or carnal. You live in life like God doesn't exist. Now, let me go a little bit further. When you're worrying and fretting and frustrated, it's temporary atheism. You're acting like God doesn't exist. You've forgotten who your father is. Come on, everybody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How does God hear you when you pray? This requires faith, expectation, and earnestness. Somebody say hallelujah. How do you find God? I'm 11 days in the year, Pastor, and I don't know if I've heard from God. I don't know how to find God. How do you find him? When you seek him and search him with all your heart. He's got to be number one focus, number one objective. God, I know you got a plan for my life. I know that your plans, you said, are good. Therefore, my good, not my well-being, my welfare, not for my disaster or my calamity. This year is going to be a better year, a bigger year, a brighter year in you. So what is it? Because if you don't believe God has a good plan, sometimes you'll just say, okay, I'm just going to make it my own. Or if you're with somebody, you say, well, it's just me and you. We're going to just have to struggle and survive. In other words, you're operating like God doesn't care or know anything about you. And you exclude him instead of include him. Everybody here? So he has a superior and better plan for you, your family, your future. You know, if you're getting married, if you're planning to get married, God has a plan on how you should do it. His plan's bigger. His plan's better. His plan has a better outcome. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You have to trust God and you have to release your faith. And that he will give you a glorious good plan in 2026. It's not retribution. God's plan is not to pay you back for all the mistakes and dumb stuff you did last year. It's not retribution. It is restoration, recovery, and renewal. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. So how does he give you? He has a plan. There's time. What's the plan this year? This season, this month. What should I be doing, Lord? So you're checking in with him every day. Everybody say every day. Every day you should say, Lord, you're mine to command and to control. Now, that's hard for some people because that C word, the last one, control is an issue because they got control in it. They want to control everything. They want to hold all the levers. They want to control their money, their time, their relationships. They want to manage and control everything. Stop it. Jesus is your controller. He's the best controller. Amen? And you say, Lord, I'm yours to command and control. You got to surrender daily or your flesh and your feelings are going to rise up and take charge. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then you say, Lord, what's my assignment? See, people want the big picture, but they ain't willing to obey the daily stuff. Daily, I should reckon Jesus is Lord. Jesus, you're the one who decides. Jesus, you're the one who tells me what to do. Jesus, I'm yours to command and control. I give you my time, my talent, my treasure, my testimony without hesitation, without reservation or limitation. I'm yours, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So you got to live a crucified life, which means you deny yourself. That's hard for some people because they're in love with themselves way so much. You got to love God more than you love yourself. You got to serve God and surrender to God more than you love yourself. Oh, this is good stuff. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So the plan of God is expected but not guaranteed. You got to be involved in it. Because he not only gives you the plan, he wants to develop you and work things through you in that plan. You got to be involved in it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, people what? But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, in other translations, it says this, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. I know people who have made over six figures in income, or some very high figures, 80, 90,000. They had a lot of money. And it was just them or just two people. And I'm like, they complained to me and they said, well, my money's all funny. Well, did you have a vision for your money? And they get silent then. The vision or goal is usually outlined in a budget or a plan. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And it includes what Sister Dawn was talking about during the offering teaching, which is tithe, offering. Amen. Then you, because you got to pay God first. Then the second is you pay yourself. If you don't save or you don't invest, you're not paying yourself. And then you got to pay your bills. Everybody say, pay God, pay yourself, pay your bills. How much did you pay God last year? Well, don't talk to me about your money being funny if you didn't pay God last year. Oh, nobody wants to shout with me right now. I'm just picking back, and Dawn started it. So she talked about order. The order is when I get money, I pay God. That means God gets first. He gets first dibs. Not last. Not leftover dibs. Y'all ain't shouting me. Y'all should be shouting me down right now. Go preach, Pastor. You're doing real good today. You pay God, then you pay yourself. You want $1 million, but you can't save 100. Oh, man, I can shout me down. I'm preaching real good today. Amen. People won't accept divine guidance. This is divine guidance. Because there's five elements of stewardship. Amen. The first element is job. Everybody say job. Some of y'all need to write that down. So I have a job. What am I supposed to do? Who am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? Well, Pastor, I'm retired. Well, there's no retirement from the will of God. You might retire from a job or retire from a career, but you still have a job to do. If you're breathing, if you're living on earth, you have a job. Everybody say, I have a job. In other words, I have work, work that I must labor in. There's something I'm supposed to labor in that generates increase or an income. Ephesians 4 said, let him who stole steal no more, but let him labor in the with his hands, with his own hands, your hands, your hands. Everybody said, my best help is at the end of my arms, my hand. You labor with your hands in the thing that is good so that he may have to give to them that need it. Amen. In other words, there's work I'm supposed to be laboring in each week. Even though I don't have a clock in and out job or a career or a business that I'm working, there is business of the kingdom I'm supposed to be working in. I'm supposed to be laboring in. Whew, glory to God. So everybody has a job to do. So the first thing I ask, are you doing your job? I don't work. I'm on a fixed income. Well, don't look at me and blink your eyes, but you still have a job. Job comes from the plan that God gave you, the purpose he gave you for this year. You're supposed to be laid, not laying around the house doing nothing. Come on, y'all. You're supposed to be laboring in something. And that will generate increase or an income. Praise God. Because if you're, you know, if your spouse works and you don't, what are you doing? You're basically helping them stay in that job and increase and be blessed and promoted and get bonuses on that job. Don't be sitting around the house waiting for them to do everything. Because there's something you're supposed to be doing. Everybody say the job. Then the job generates increased income. And then from that job, the second element of stewardship is the tithe. You're supposed to tithe 10%. 10% is the starting point. 10% is not God's way of just raising money. He's his way of raising his children. So he puts the training wheels of tithes on you. Says you start to ride this bike with training wheels, and it starts at 10%. Praise the Lord. And then, everybody say, number three is the budget. That means after you paid you paid God, return back to him, then you pay your bills. Pay your bills. You should have a budget to save for emergencies. Everybody say emergencies. So everybody should get to a point to where they got $1,000 that they can say, I got it right here. Then you get to $1,000, you get to a month. Then the month, you get to 3 months. And then 3 months, you get to 6 months. So you got 6 months, you can say, if they mess up our economy, I got 6 months. I got 3 months, or at least got 1 month. I'm teaching better than y'all saying amen. Everybody say the budget. And this little budget is designed to address your needs, not your wants and your desires. Many people mess up by just running out and getting what they want. So they eat out all the time. They spend money on things that they don't need, but they want it. That's out of control. The budget is designed to say, these are the needs. So you trust God in your tithing that he meets all of your needs. According to his riches and glory. Praise God. But you budget to save. You budget to spend. Amen. And you can have a want budget or want thing like that. And then you have The last, next one is the seed. Everybody say, the fourth one is the seed. Everybody say seed. So what are the elements? Job. Everybody say job. Tithe. Come on, y'all. Y'all slow this morning. Tithe what? Budget. Seed. That's your over and above giving, over and above to 10%. You increase your seed time as harvest is a principle that all of us need to be very skillful and growing more skillful in. Amen. Because whatever we sow, that's what we reap. That's how we generate increase and more income, through sowing. Not throwing your seed, sowing your seed. And the last one, fifth one, is vision. Don alluded to it in the offering teaching. We got to have vision about what he gives seed to the sower, bread for our food. She read that one, 2 Corinthians 9:10. And increase the fruits of the righteousness. In other words, righteousness means I'm gonna underfund a project. God may assign you and say, I want you to underfund this. I want you to fund this. And how do we respond, church? We said it Wednesday night. In Christ, I have it. In Christ, I can give it. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. So that's just a vision for your financial stuff. What's my job? What's my tithe? Some of us he's talked to in the context of percentage, which he does with all of us. That's why he says it starts with 10%. It's not 10% of what somebody else makes. It's 10% of what you make, what you get as an income. And he tells certain of us, I want you at 30%. I want you at 15%. I want you at 25%. I don't tell you that. He tells you that. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because where there is no vision, or where there is, the people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. And people run wild more with their money than anything else. And people get funny when I talk about money. But I'm still talking about it because it's coming up in my heart. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to get that right. Because as Brother Fred shared when he was here about offering, he's out today, but he said that, he said what? You know, money is the least. If you're not faithful in the money, you can't be faithful in anything else. So a lot of times God will give you a vision, including your finances. I see what you want me to do. Now, we didn't just pick this up. We learned it from our mentors and others. You know, Pastor Hagin used to tell us, I never let an offering bucket pass you by. That fell into my heart. Boom. Okay, I can't miss an offering. But, you know, I had to believe God and scrape and figure something out. We're going to give every single offering in 2026 like we did in 2025. Not miss a day. Somebody say hallelujah. And then Pastor Mark, he said, you know, he said, God would tell him, I want you to give this so much a week. And he said, Lord, you know how much that is a year? He said, I know it, but I'm telling you it. Why? Because in Christ, you have it. In Christ, you can give it. It takes faith. It takes expectation. It takes earnestness to say, Lord, I want to do what you called me to do this year. I want to say and accomplish your purpose and plan for this year. Not my will, but your will be done, Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm just trying to stir you up to pray and seek God, because everybody needs to have a plan. Because when I tap you on the shoulder next week, you're going to say, yeah, I got it. I got clarity, Lord. I mean, Pastor, I got clarity. I'm clear. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. So God always has a plan for you. He's not trying to take something from you or get something from you. He's trying to get things to you and through you to be a blessing, be blessed, and to be a blessing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amplified Bible says of that one verse, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable he is. Somebody say, praise the Lord. God, everybody say, God has a plan. Everybody say, God has a plan. Now, next week we'll get into writing it down. Because Habakkuk says, what do you do with it? When you see it, you got to write it down. So we want to be able to equip you next week with tools or just some techniques to write it down. Because the written plan is better than the best memory. Because when the devil mollywops you upside your head, you're going to forget about the plan. Everybody tell your neighbor, say, stick to the plan. Tell somebody else beside you, say, stick to the plan. Y'all get something out of that today? Come on, stand to your feet. Yes, ma'am. It's time. People going to start burping if I give too much. I don't want you burping and throwing up coming out of here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We had to stir some of you up to get busy with the plan. Amen. Listen to me. I'm saying this by the Holy Spirit. This is why he tracked this way this day. He says some of you had some horrible history with your finances and with your money. And you're trying to figure out what happened, why. Well, listen.